The children of the Holocaust will never be forgotten thanks to this organization. We find out more in this report from Janet Rathner.
With the Holocaust fast becoming a strictly by the history books experience, an organization called Remember Us, the Holocaust B'nai Mitzvah Project, is helping children forge a connection with youngsters who perished during this most horrific event of the last century. Jewish educator Gesher Kalmanson developed the Remember Us Project, and he is here with us today to discuss how it works. Later, we will hear from Debbie May, who recently incorporated the Remember Us Project into her bat mitzvah. Welcome to B'nai B'rith Radio Studio J, Gesher. What led you to develop this project?
I think the project started when I took a trip to Israel. I was in my middle 60s, and we went to Yad Vashem, and we're in the Valley of the Communities, and it was a very emotional experience, much more emotional than I had realized it was going to be. And I saw that there was a deep wound in me about the Holocaust that I had never realized before, that had kind of gotten closed up. I mean, I was, 12, 13 years old when the war ended, and I had never come to grips with it somehow. And at this trip at Yad Vashem, I saw that it was in me, and I realized that it's in a lot of people from my generation, and that the same wound was going to be in kids as they grew up and didn't know how to deal with the Holocaust. So that's really where the program began.
Do you know how many Holocaust victims were children?
We know that the number is used 1.5 million. I'm not sure what the cutoff age for that is. Our population that we're dealing with is children who are not yet bar mitzvahed, so from age 1 to 13. And we think that there are more than 1 million children in that category.
How many Holocaust survivors are still living, and is there a yearly percentage for how quickly this group is dying off?
I have no real information on that, Janet. We talk every once in a while to a survivor group, and I spoke to one in Virginia a couple of months ago, and she just told me her group was rapidly getting smaller, but statistically we don't know what the size of the population is.
There are very definite steps that a participant takes, a bar mitzvah participant takes, such as performing mitzvot in the name of the child who perished and also reciting Kaddish for that child on the day of the bar mitzvah and on the anniversary of that bar mitzvah every year. How did you come up with these activities as a means of creating awareness and remembrance for the participant?
Okay. So first I just want to say that there's nothing in this program that's actually required except for the child to make a commitment. And everything that we propose after that is merely in the nature of a suggestion. And each child is free to choose whatever they want to do. And what's happening, we've discovered as the program's been going on, is that the children are coming up with many more creative ideas and suggestions, which we then build into the program as possibilities we pass on to new kids coming in. The way we came up with it is that it came from an event that I participated in. A young friend of mine, a boy who was 11 years old, passed away, and I was part of the memorial being done for his friends from school. And there were about 400 kids there, and most of them were not Jewish, and we tried to think from the Jewish tradition, what could I tell these kids that would help them come to grips with the death of their friend? And the two things that came up for me is, one, the tradition of lighting a memorial candle, and which we did there at the service, and all the kids came up and lit candles. And the other was to act in the world to keep the memory of this child alive, to act so that you did things in the world that made the world better in the name of the child who you're remembering. And that really was, when this project started, I recall that experience, and that those two things seemed to register with the kids really well. And, of course, Kaddish is part of our tradition, and so that's how we made the initial list. And then, as I say, children now are coming up with wonderful new ideas. One little girl wrote us that she was making book plates and donating books to her synagogue library in the name of the child she was remembering.
What happens on the day of the bar mitzvah?
Well, a child can choose whatever they want to do. I'll tell you what a lot of children are doing is that they put the name of the child they're remembering and something about why they're doing it into whatever booklet they produce for Bar Mitzvah. And then most of the kids are saying something either as part of their Devar Torah or as part of their speech. The Devar Torahs are very interesting because kids find a way to make a connection to whatever their Parsha is. I'll give you some examples, okay? One girl had the census in numbers in Bamidbar as her Parsha, and she worked her memory project into the census by saying the purpose of the census is that everyone counts. So she said, by remembering this child, she's still counting the child who died, she still counts. So they do they're very creative and very thoughtful about it. The other thing that kids do is they talk about in their speeches frequently, and they send us copies of this. One girl, we just got a speech from a young girl who said she was remembering a girl named Rivka who died before she had a chance to show God what kind of Jew she could be. And this young woman said, I'm remembering her, and I'm going to complete that process for her. I'm going to show God what kind of Jew a young girl can become. So the kids are doing wonderful things with it.
Where do you find the names of the Holocaust victims?
They come to us from Yad Vashem. They have a database. We gave them parameters. They very generously support us with a database that's tailored for our use, and they have more names than, unfortunately, we could go through in several lifetimes. So it's an unending supply of names. Virtually, it's an unending supply of names.
Do the participants in your program learn anything about where these children came from, what their families did, how old they were when they died?
Well, when we first began the program, we were a little shocked to find out how little information there was about almost all the children. I had seen the passport programs at museums, and there they give you a little biography about the child's life and family. So when I started the program, I thought we'd be able to find that kind of data. It turns out that there's very, very little known about almost all the children. And so when we thought about that when we started the program, it made it feel to me like it was even more important to remember a child about whom very little is known. I was just working on one this morning, a memorial sheet about a young girl in Amsterdam, and we don't know where she died. We don't know when she died. What we have is the fragments that were collected on her pages of testimony at Yad Vashem, and somehow the less information we have, in my mind, the more important it is to remember that child. And then if a child wants to do some research, they can go onto a web browser, or they can go to Yad Vashem, or they can go to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, and at least find out something about the geography of the place, or maybe the culture of where the shtetl was. And sometimes there's pictures of shtetls, so they can, if they choose to, collect whatever information is available.
You mentioned information coming from the pages of testimony at Yad Vashem. Who has contributed to those pages of testimony?
They come from survivors, and they come from families. There are also memorial books, the Yizkor books and stuff, but Yad Vashem's principal collection process, I think, is through pages of testimony submitted by families. And they actually, right now, I'm glad to have a chance to mention this, they have an 11th-hour project to collect names from survivors, as many names as possible. And they have a program that they're trying to promote in communities all around the world for the communities to find survivor families and get whatever information hasn't yet been collected. Their database has about 3.5 million names in it, which means that there's almost 3 million names that aren't accounted for. And so they're trying now to collect as many names as they can before the survivor generation is gone.
There are a number of Holocaust museums and memorials today, and children do study this event in school. Why is it so important to have this additional personal connection?
Yes, the museums do a great job, and we're in contact with the various curriculums around. One of the impetuses for starting the program was that when I went through the museums and left, I felt that there were, it would be important for a child to have something concrete and specific to do that individualized and personalized an understanding of the Holocaust. So, and we frequently get, when we get letters from parents now, they tell us that their children went to a museum, they went on a trip, and when they came back, they had even a stronger inclination to want to do the program because it let them then take an action, a positive action, and it empowered them to do something in the face of all this terrible information they were getting. And so that's, and that's one of the main purposes of the program, is to let children know that they have the opportunity to do something to redeem history, that it just doesn't have to be an abscess in their hearts, that they can actually do something that has a significant impact on their own lives as an act of memory. And that, so it's, we feel very, very much that what we do supports the museum programs and the curriculum programs, and it adds that element of a personal action that the kid can take.
Where can we go for additional information on Remember Us, the Holocaust B'nai Mitzvah Project?
We have a website. I'll give you the URL. It's www.remember-us.org. And all the information is on there about who participates, what communities are participating, stories about what children have done, and how one can begin to enter into this process themselves. And entering into it is very, very simple. You just have to tell us you want to do it, and we provide you the information. There is, by the way, no cost involved to the family or to the synagogue. It's all, the work is all supported by donations and grants. And so nobody has to make a financial decision in order to participate.
Thank you for being with us. That was Gesher Kalmanson discussing Remember Us, the Holocaust B'nai Mitzvah Project. We're speaking now with Debbie May, who made the Remember Us Project an integral part of her recent bat mitzvah. Welcome to B'nai B'rith Radio Studio J, Debbie. How did you find out about the Remember Us Project?
Well, I'm a life member of Hadassah, and I donate my hair to lots of love and work on various community service activities with my friends from school and my temple. But I was really interested in learning about the Holocaust, so I did something different from my bar mitzvah and searched about the Holocaust on Google. I found some sites that had information about kids lost in the Holocaust. But after looking at them, I liked the Remember Us Project the most. So I talked to my parents about it, and they contacted Remember Us to get more information.
Why did you decide to make this part of your bat mitzvah?
Because I feel bad for all the people who suffered from the Holocaust, so I want to remember everyone who died just for being a Jew. My parents explained that I can't possibly remember everyone and that it would be easier and more meaningful to remember one particular person. I also feel badly for people who did survive because they had to live through this terrible time, and Jews and those who try to help the Jews. And it's important to remember all of this and pass along to the future generations because survivors won't be around forever. And the current survivors need to tell their story so we can also pass it on. And if each kid having a bar mitzvah learns something about a child who died in the Holocaust, they can make the memory part of their family history and traditions. So I did this because I never want anything as terrible as this to happen again.
How does it work? How do you include this in your bat mitzvah?
Once I decided that I wanted to participate in the Remember Us Project, my parents and I met with our rabbis at Temple Shir Shalom and discussed it, and they wanted to make sure that I was serious about doing this and that it would not be a one-day thing. And my parents contacted Remember Us and said, yes. Remember Us paired me up with a little girl who died in the Holocaust and sent me some information about her. And then my dad and I did some internet searching at the Remember Us site and some other places and found out some additional information about Rivka and the people from her hometown. Temple Shir Shalom had never had a bat mitzvah to do this before, so how I worked it into my service was something that we had no idea how to do. So, and then I worked closely with my rabbis, and we started deciding that we would place an empty chair in the middle of the bima during the service. And then later, I thought of placing a talis on the chair was also a good idea. At my temple, the bat mitzvah actually runs almost all of the service. So at the very beginning, I explained that what I was doing and why the chair was on the bima. Each bar mitzvah must write a speech about her Torah portion and how it relates to her. Mine was about holy and how Jews are supposed to follow certain rules, such as observing Shabbat. And I pointed out that Rivka was never able to show God how good of a Jew she might have become, as she was taken from us before she had any chance to do this.
Do you know how old Rivka was?
She was 4.
Do you know anything else about her? You know her last name, where she was from?
Her last name was Granovsky, and she was from Russia.
And do you know where she died?
No.
Have you ever met a Holocaust survivor?
Yes, I met about 4 or 5 of them, including one recently at the Holocaust Memorial Center in Washington, D.C. I got to go there right after my bar mitzvah and found out things I never knew before. I also just found out that my grandmother's cousin, who died last week, was with the American Army that liberated one of the death camps, and I'm sorry that I did not know that and get to talk to him before he died. But this is why it's important to do this now, so these stories are passed along.
Does the Remember Us Project change your understanding of the Holocaust?
For some people, it will change their understanding of the Holocaust. But for me, I always knew how terrible the Holocaust was, and the Nazis killing not just adults, but kids, babies, and anyone that they didn't like. And my family talks about this and never hid any of this from us. What Remember Us did, though, was make it a little more real and believable for me. By having a connection with one child makes it seem like a part of my family or a friend was the one lost. It is not just some nameless person. 1 in 6 million, it makes this about one little girl, a 4-year-old named Rivka from Russia. 3 years ago, my parents adopted my sister, who's eight now, from Russia. For all we know, she could have been related to Rivka.
Thank you for being with us. That was Debbie May discussing her incorporation of the Remember Us, the Holocaust B'nai Mitzvah Project into her recent bat mitzvah.